Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once, and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/Wi-Fi.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing, Donald Trump has paused all military aid to Ukraine. Confirming the decision, a White House official declared that the U.S. is pausing and reviewing the military aid that it contributes to that country. It comes just a couple of days after the shocking ambush of Zelensky in the Oval Office. So with U.S. arms and equipment vital to the Ukrainian war effort, this news is a massive blow to Ukraine. Joining me now from Brussels is Donako Bakhoin, Professor of Politics at DCU. Donako, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What is the immediate effect of this pause and review?
Well, according to the Pentagon source that's being circulated in the media, this would halt all military aid to Ukraine, and that would include all military aid in transit. So there's already aid, for example, that's in Poland awaiting transportation to Ukraine. That would also be halted. And one suspects that when they say it's a pause for a review, it's a little bit like the attitude towards USAID, which is also on pause, that this is really, a farewell to Ukraine. And it's part of a much larger package of policies, which really mean disengaging from Europe and indeed adopting an adversarial policy towards Europe. And also, of course, not only Europe, Canada and Mexico in the firing line today, 25% tariffs in both countries.
Now, does anyone really understand why he's doing this? And we know he can't do it entirely alone. I mean, the inspiration may come from Donald Trump, but he needs conspiring acolytes to do a lot of this work for him.
He does, but there's nobody in his inner circle to question his own instincts. And his own instincts are, to strike a deal with Russia. He sees Ukraine as an inconvenience for a much more important deal with Russia. This is back to a more traditional U.S. policy, which always prioritized Russia over its neighbors. It's often forgotten that George H.W. Bush, the man who was president when the Cold War collapsed, went to Ukraine in August 1991, pleading with them not to secede from the Soviet Union. He called their campaign for independence suicidal nationalism. Now, that's kind of forgotten because we know that the Soviet Union collapsed a few months later and Ukraine has been independent for more than three decades. But for as long as anybody can remember, America has prioritized Russia. And in a way, we're seeing it almost going back to that position that it's much more dramatic. It's much more tragic, but essentially they want to deal with Russia. They want economic opportunities with Russia. And as I said, Ukraine gets in the way of that. So this is really, the debacle in the Oval Office is a pretext for what I think was going to happen sooner rather than later.
Now, why would the United States, still the biggest military power on the planet, why would it want to allow Russia to, if you like, expand into the old Soviet empire? Why would it want to have an equal partner in global affairs rather than a subservient one?
Well, I don't think it sees Russia as an equal. I think it sees it as a regional power. And Trump is a man who respects power, and Russia has military power. It doesn't have economic power. It's a point that I'm at pains to make all the time. Its economy is about the size of Italy's, but it does have military power. And, you know, in terms of this is how the Russian media is presenting it, that, you know, great powers have a right to dictate the fates of smaller nations. Trump buys into that narrative, which is why, as I said, he's reaching out to Putin, who he has a clear admiration for. I mean, again, you know, during that Oval Office ambush, as you mentioned in the introduction, he was at pains to defend Putin. He said that Putin had went through hell, essentially, on Trump's behalf because of this witch hunt, you know, this impeachment witch hunt, which as Trump sees it, whereas his animosity towards Zelensky is, you know, ill-concealed. I mean, he calls him a dictator. He calls him a comedian, a salesman. He doesn't hold him in high regard. And I think that, again, is reflective of the way he views each country and their utility to the U.S., because it's all about utility. How useful can Russia be to the U.S.? How useful can Ukraine be? And his view is that Ukraine isn't that useful.
The question, though, of and the rare earths metal deal, I mean, who knows what that was really all about, because much of the stuff is supposed to be in the land occupied by Russia. And therefore, if you're going to buy rare earths from Ukraine, imagine having to deal with Russia as your salesperson.
Well, Putin's already.
How is that an advantage?
Well, Putin's already thought about this. Putin has said that he says that Russia has more of these minerals, more of these rare earth materials than Ukraine has. And he's correct in that. And indeed, as you say, a lot of the Ukrainian minerals are in Russian-occupied territory, and Putin has said that he's open to cooperation and letting U.S. companies exploit those minerals. So he's already covered that, and Trump doesn't really care. I mean, that's quite clear. He doesn't care whether, you know, Luhansk or Donetsk or Kherson or Zaporizhia is, you know, part of Russia or part of Ukraine. So if the person in de facto control of the territory offers him an economic deal, Trump will go for it.
And the idea that they don't want to be dependent on China for rare earths and therefore they look elsewhere. I mean, we saw what happened in Western Europe when the dependence on Russian energy was exposed and how Western Europe and particularly German industry had to scramble to replace those Russian energy supplies. Why would Putin want to put himself in a vulnerable position in regard to those supplies?
Well, I think that Putin sees himself in quite an advantageous position. He has China has his back. They're buying up the energy resources that Europe is not buying. And from China's perspective, it's a good deal because they're buying them at often heavily discounted prices. He set up his own alternative world order, kind of the BRICS. Now he sees the US is aligning with his own priorities in foreign policy. And again, that's what the Russian media is saying. There's ill-concealed delight in the Russian media every night where they can't believe their luck that, you know, after 3 years of war, they haven't really advanced far in Ukraine. It's an important statistic, by the way, to highlight that in April, so exactly 3 years ago, April 2022, Russia held 19.6% of Ukrainian territory. Today, they hold 19.2% of Ukrainian territory. They hold less. So we often emphasize that Ukraine hasn't driven the Russians out, but we fail to emphasize that Russia hasn't gained any of its military objectives in Ukraine. But they're being given this lifeline now by Donald Trump. And so this is the world in which they see themselves. And they see now Europe as the only adversary. And of course, that's why they accuse Europe. Sergei Lavrov does it. Dmitry Medvedev. They accuse Europe of warmongering, that essentially it's an Orwellian perversion of the truth, the way they describe that Europe wants instability, because stability in the Russian view is to allow them free rein in Ukraine.
Why would the United States, and we're talking Trump only now, because there are many other voices in the United States who are quite dismayed at the dismantling of the transatlantic alliance, and who knows if tonight Donald Trump won't address the joint session of Congress and decide that the US is leaving NATO, thus leaving Europe more than somewhat exposed. Why is this happening?
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists create connectivity solutions that change the way we work, live, and play. Like Kunle, a Comcast engineer who is focused on revolutionizing the in-home Wi-Fi experience today and for the next generation. Kunle builds powerful Xfinity Wi-Fi devices that deliver a fast, reliable connection with capacity to connect hundreds of high-bandwidth devices at once and next-level latency for the applications of the future, like augmented and virtual reality and cloud gaming. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/Wi-Fi.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
New job? Growing family? Need a change of scenery? When life gives you a reason to move, start with Open Door. Request a cash offer in minutes. No prep work or showings needed. Or list with us and test the market with the cash offer to fall back on. You choose. Sell your way at opendoor.com. That's opendoor.com. Terms and conditions apply. Open Door Brokerage LLC and Open Door Brokerage in California, DRE 020-611-30.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number? Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
It's pure isolationism. From their perspective, the U.S. spends more on military than the next 10 countries combined. So, you know, they're safe. And as Trump emphasized during that Oval Office meeting, they have an ocean separating them from the major conflict zone. So it's very much a Mayfain policy. Europe, they feel, should look after European security issues. This is for them a European security issue. So there's no solidarity. I mean, Europe, of course, could have adopted the same position after 9/11. I mean, Article 5, this kind of mutual assistance clause in NATO was invoked only once, and that was by the United States. And that was to fight a war in Afghanistan. And, you know, small countries like Denmark, more Danes died per capita in Afghanistan than Americans did. So that was not based on Danish national interest. That was based on solidarity and a military alliance. But the view now in America is that they can look after themselves, and solidarity costs money. And that's why they want to essentially reduce their military spending, but also reduce the security guarantee that they offer Europe and prioritize themselves. We have been here before, it's important to emphasize. I mean, during the 1920s and 30s, we saw the U.S. not even a member of the League of Nations, the precursor of the United Nations. And it's interesting, by the way, that during this last week that Elon Musk has said that the U.S. should withdraw not only from NATO, but from the United Nations as well.
Now, the question, you know, people are saying that Zelensky has to go, he has to resign to kind of save the American support for Ukraine. But it strikes me from what you're saying that it doesn't matter whether Zelensky stays or goes. The U.S. is going to do, well, Trump's U.S. is going to do what it wants to do.
Oh, absolutely.
That no apology will bring Trump back from this particular brink.
No, because it's not about personalities. I mean, Zelensky is simply representing the views, you know, the majority view in Ukraine, which is that they need security guarantees. I mean, they have to face, you know, a very determined adversary and very relatively indifferent allies. But they know from the past that security guarantees that are not backed up in any meaningful sense will not be respected. And in fact, you know, even the United States' current position is breaking previous security guarantees. Going back to 1994, the important Budapest Memorandum, where Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons, which, of course, is a clear deterrent, and in return got security guarantees, not only from Russia, but from the United States. And that, by the way, guarantee was to protect them not only from military invasion, but from economic coercion, which is something, of course, that the US is now applying to Ukraine in the form of this minerals deal. I think it's important to emphasize as well, because we tend to listen to the parts of the Kremlin narrative that they export for external consumption. And that is, of course, this kind of fear of encirclement and NATO expansion and EU expansion. If you listen to the Russian media from the beginning, the core objective is the destruction of Ukraine as a state and the Ukrainians as a people. They see Ukrainians, you know, they're looking for some kind of national lobotomy. They see Ukrainian identity and national identity as a kind of psychosis, because ultimately they're Russians who are victims of false consciousness. And Ukrainians know this. And that's why they're so determined to resist. It's not like like Irish people waking up and finding that they're going to be living in France and they say, well, I can live with this. It's a radically different type of regime. And of course, to state the obvious, it's a dictatorship which has no place for national authorities.
Now, looking to the United States and, you know, how much of a wake up call there is for people, many of whom who voted for Trump and, who are now regretting that option, whether they're working for the government or they have relatives who work for the government who've now lost their jobs. They watch inflation. It seems set to rise. Prices haven't come down. The stock market is jittery. It's fallen. And they're wondering, you know, were we right or wrong? And can we do something to mitigate the behavior of this man who seems bent on just disrupting every single aspect of American life?
Well, the American electorate for now seem quite subdued. There's a lot of course, activity on social media. But in terms of organized political opposition, Trump still has free rein. I mean, we have to remember that he's only been, 6-7 weeks in power. I mean, he's really flooding the zone with all these initiatives, some of which will stick, some of which won't. So I think, of course, it will be unsustainable in the longer term. But that's why I think he's trying to get as much as he can done quickly. And he's also testing the boundaries. He's also seeing how far he can progress on a particular policy without resistance. And that's, of course, the classic bullying mentality. And on some core aspects like the dismantlement of USAID, which doesn't mean a lot, I think, to the average Irish person, but means a lot of things to a lot of people around the world, is perhaps one of the longer term, policies which have a longer term significance. And I think also, and I think this is emblematic of where the US is right now, and it eclipses, I think, in importance, even the Oval Office meeting, is that vote on Ukraine at the United Nations, where, you know, the US found itself in alliance with Russia, North Korea, Belarus and Eritrea, and on the opposite side from its ostensible European allies. And I think this is symptomatic of a deep division now in the world. And I'm not sure that even if Trump were, you know, to be dislodged in the morning, I'm not sure that it would radically change. I mean, Trump is a symptom of a much deeper malaise, I think, in US society.
Mm. The question, though, of the United States becoming an untrustworthy partner in any deal, you know, when you can sign the Paris Accord, you can jump out of and then, you know, renege on it. You can pull yourself out of the WHO, you mentioned there, Musk saying they should be out of the United Nations. They're not part of the criminal court. You know, that the United States is not someone that you'd be able to do an honest deal with. That is not good for the world generally, and it's certainly not good for America in the long term.
Oh, of course. And it inverts decades of established assumptions. And that's why Europe is in panic mode right now on so many levels. I mean, there will be economic repercussions, but there will be security repercussions as well. I mean, the incoming German chancellor put it quite dramatically when he said that, for Europe, it's 5 minutes to midnight. There isn't time to wait. And he was talking primarily, of course, of the security threat, but there will be economic, repercussions as well, because, of course, our, economic stability depends on Europe being a secure oasis in what can often be a turbulent world. And Trump is, he's a troublemaker when it comes to world affairs, and he's unpredictable.
Now, the question of Europe and Henry Kissinger's famous line about Europe, who do you call when you want to talk to Europe? Well, now, it's a bit more organized. You've got the Commission and so on, and you've got the head of NATO, who's a European. But it is a problem, isn't it, finding a coherent leadership in Europe?
It is, because Europe is made up of 27 democracies, and you have, of course, Hungary, which is the permanent outlier, which vetoes initiatives, particularly on Ukraine, but also in terms of relations with Russia, China, and the US. It is perhaps, you might say, the best of what are, not particularly attractive alternatives. Because the obvious alternative is to remove national vetoes from EU decision-making, and the EU doesn't seem to be quite ready for that, and they're not ready also to expel Hungary. We do have, of course, you know, institutions like, you know, the foreign policy chief, Kaja Kallas, but it's interesting how Trump and Putin have adopted the same policy towards EU institutions. So, for example, foreign minister and prime minister after prime minister have gone to the US and been entertained, whereas when Kaja Kallas went to the United States, she couldn't secure a meeting with Marco Rubio, her counterpart as Secretary of State. And that's a deliberate policy because from the perspective of the Trump administration, the EU was a potential rival. They don't see the British or the French or the Irish certainly as potential rivalries, but they do see the EU. And that's why they do what they can to undermine and to stoke, of course, internal differences, which is why people like Elon Musk and indeed the Trump administration were reaching out to the Alternative for Germany party. And indeed, Putin does the same. He stokes the embers of extremist politics in Europe as well to pursue a divide and rule policy.
Finally, Danica, I'm reading more and more, and it goes back a long way, but it's surfacing again and again. The notion that Trump is in fact a Russian asset, not a spy, not someone who's involved in espionage, but someone that the Russians kind of got on side a long time ago as a kind of a useful idiot, and that they are playing him like a puppeteer might play. So do you think that that is even possible? Because, as I say, the voices are getting louder and louder about this.
I don't necessarily buy into the conspiracy theory that they have compromat on him and that he's some kind of Manchurian candidate. I think he has a genuine affection and admiration for Vladimir Putin. I think that comes out in his statements, and it goes back well before he became president, back to the annexation of Crimea in 2014, which Donald Trump described as so smart. And even then, he said that he respected the fact that Putin wouldn't allow Russians to be pushed around. So I think he's a genuine affection for Russia. And that's a problem, of course, for those many adversaries of Russia, like Ukraine, because, as I said, Russian demands remain unchanged. The one thing that Donald Trump hasn't been able to secure, despite all his alleged deal-making skills, he hasn't secured one single concession from Russia in all these preliminary
talks. Well, that's why that whole is not necessarily compromise, but, you know, in business, the fact that he was cozying up to Russian mafia figures who were buying property, you know, in Trump Towers and stuff like that. It's all there, but no one's kind of putting it together and saying this man could be a Russian asset, because everything he does is in Putin's interest and not necessarily even in the United States' interest.
Well, that's it. I mean, finding the smoking gun that would prove that, you know, there's kind of a concrete motive to be a Russian asset is difficult and has eluded journalists so far. At least there's not a consensus. But I think what we can say with absolute certainty is that de facto he is a Russian asset. And that is, as I said, borne out by the Russian political elite and the Russian media themselves, who say that they more or less cannot believe their luck and that the US foreign policy now aligns with Russian foreign policy. They see it as the US coming round to the Russian position.
Donako Bakhoin, Professor of Politics at DCU, thank you very much for joining us from Brussels this morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.